Good evening. Good afternoon. Sorry, that's a change from the evening meetings we used to have. Good afternoon. Welcome to meeting the Cabinet, East Haftsborough Council, on 21st of June at 12 noon. Can I start with item one, please, to receive apologies for absence, Monica?
I have apologies from Councillor Peters.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? No. Item three, to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on 9th of May 2022. Is there any concerns with the minutes? No. Can I have a vote in favour of those, please? Thank you. That's unanimous. I'll sign the minutes then. Thank you very much. So, item four, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Monica.
We've no urgent business, Chairman.
Thank you. Item five, the forward plan. Chief Exec.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of June, right the way through to the 30th of September. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Is there any questions, Cabinet members? No. Thank you. So item six, revenue and capital outturn report, final outturn 2021-22. Can I ask Sal Khan to present, please?
Okay, thank you, Leader. So this is the final quarterly report for the financial year 2021-22, and it presents a final outturn position in relation to the usual areas of the revenue budget, the capital programme, treasury and risk management activities, as well as the position of reserves and the business rates retention scheme as at year end. So the budget of £13.371 million includes a corporate provision of £1.3 million for COVID-19 related pressures, and this was balanced by taking into account £1.1 million from reserves, which recognised that at the time of setting the budget, there was still a high degree of uncertainty and a possibility of significant volatility within the budgets. So this report highlights that there has been some significant budgetary pressures against the pre-COVID-19 service budgets, but have also been some windfall income streams and savings. And this means that after taking into account the corporate budgets and the provision for COVID-19 pressures, there's an overall contribution to reserves of £0.4 million at outturn. So the outturn at the year end is better than anticipated when the budget was set back in February 2021. And this is largely due to the success of the vaccine rollout in terms of reopening the economy. And that whilst the Omicron variant initially seemed to pose a significant threat from quarter three onwards, this didn't really materialise. There have also been a number of one-off initiatives and grants provided by government during the year which have resulted in some savings, and these couldn't have been anticipated when the budget was originally set. Section 4 of the report details the most significant variations against the budgets for the full year. And you'll see there is increased net expenditure in arts, brewhouse and functions and community and open spaces. Alongside that, there were net savings in the environment, in leisure, environmental health, as well as the corporate budgets. And as usual, there's a full schedule of variances attached to Appendix A to the report. The outturn position also includes a carry forward sum totaling £111,000. And these are outlined at paragraph 4.6 for Cabinet approval. The table at paragraph 4.1 shows a variation against the original budget of £1.505 million, of which £738,000 was anticipated within the MTFS for 2022-23, as per the quarter two position. Cabinet is also asked to approve the allocation of the remaining windfall funding of £767,000, which is in line with both the Council's priorities and the emerging risks, which are listed in paragraph 2.8. Paragraph 2.6 provides a position with reserves at the end of the year. The general reserve is £1.3 million, which is in line with expectations when the budget was set. And in addition to this, there are some reserves that are earmarked for specific purposes. At the end of a year, these are estimated to be £21.6 million, plus a further £3.4 million, which relates to COVID business rates relief Section 31 grants, which is held to deal with the timing differences, and some of which will be needed to offset the impact of the collection fund deficit in 2022-23. In terms of the capital programme, the programme for the year totaled £9.6 million and is set out in table at paragraph 6.2. Further narrative is provided in section 6, which also provides details of a Towns Fund programme and a list of capital receipts received during the year. The accrued spending on capital projects amounted to £4.9 million, resulting in £4.7 million of programmed expenditure to be carried forward. Section 7 of the report provides information on the Business Rates Retention Scheme, which, since its introduction in 2013, transfers opportunities to generate additional revenues from business growth, but also substantial risks from both economic contraction and appeals that are lodged by businesses with the Valuation Office. The table at 7.2 provides a surplus of £1.3 million before windfall items against the budget. This is largely due to the provision held for appeals being reduced to take account of the latest available data from the Valuation Office, as well as a reduction in bad debt provision, which reflects the latest collection information and the improved business conditions. In addition to this, we're also waiting on the final results from the Staffordshire Business Rates Pool to ascertain our final share of any windfall, which is estimated to be in the region of £0.9 million. So whilst this is a positive outcome, Cabinet is reminded that the scheme does expose councils to significant volatility. And as you look further ahead, there is a planned reset due to take place, as well as the next business rates valuation. However, after taking into account commitments already made for 2022-23, the combined surplus of £2.1 million, which is shown in 7.2, leaves the forecast business rates volatility reserve £500,000 higher than when the budget was set for 2022-23. In terms of Treasury management activities, details on investments and borrowing are provided in Section 5 and at Appendix C to the report. At the end of the year, borrowing stood at £11 million and our investments at £59.4 million. The average rate of return on the Council's investments throughout the year was 0.1%, which is consistent with most benchmarks. In terms of risk management, Appendix D contains the most significant risks facing the Council, which have been updated and also include actions identified to mitigate these risks. And finally, the recommendations and report are detailed in sections 14.1, 14.2 and 14.3. On that note, Leader, I'll hand back to you for any questions.
Thank you very much, Sal. Any comments on Cabinet members? Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Leader. First of all, I'd like to say this is a very, very positive report, and I think it reflects the lot of hard work that the Council as a whole has done over the last year. I mean, the work that's gone through over the last year has been really very positive, and I'd just like to sort of highlight just two or three points, if I may, just to emphasise what good work that's taken place over the year. A major turnaround that delivers £0.4 million back into reserves over the year. We've also got funding of £767,000 towards key priorities added to this year's, including around tourism, regeneration, asset management, to name just but four. So a really positive side of things there. Similarly, reserves doing well on that, particularly around the general reserve remained the same at 1.3 and the total reserve 21.6, very positive as well. And business rates retention scheme, the volatility reserve has increased by £0.5 million there. Again, overall excellent work over the authority. So I'm very, very supportive of this and support the recommendations in section 14.1 and 14.2, and note the comments in 14.3. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Sankey. Councillor Metcalfe.
Thank you. I'd like to echo Councillor Sankey's words. And in particular, I'd like to thank the team for being able to carry forward the unspent portion of the BSB funding, which initially we thought had been lost, so we can do some more good work this year. Thank you.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Again, reiterating Councillor Sankey, I'd like to thank everybody because from a tourism point of view, we've now got provision for two more members of staff and their experience and guidance is going to be essential to driving tourism forward. So I'd like to thank everybody for helping put that forward as well. Thank you.
Councillor Clark.
I'd also like to echo the previous comments made and also welcome the investment into Brunston water park toilets, which is very much needed investment given the state of them. So looking forward to that being spent.
Is anybody else? No? Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys. So I'll just move straight to the cabinet recommendations and take them all in one. I'm pretty sure you're all quite well read on the report. Can I propose then that we accept cabinet the recommendations in 14.1 and 14.2, and we note recommendations in 14.3. Okay, can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Faulkner, all those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. Okay, so can we move to item 7, please? End of year corporate plan performance, and it's James Abbott to present. Thank you.
Thanks, Leader. So this is the end of year performance report looking at the Council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities for the 21-22 financial year. So in the normal way, I just wanted to provide a very quick summary of the headline figures and the key points arising. But as I hope you can see from the information in the report, the numbers suggest that the overall performance continues to be very good as it has in previous quarters and in previous years. But just to summarise, each target has been graded using the usual red, amber, green traffic light star system ratings using the normal year-end definitions, which enable us then to rank each individual indicator accordingly, dependent on the progress of each of those up to the end of March this year. So if we look at the 122 live targets, this equates to the council being at 94.26% green overall, just 1.64% amber and just 4.10% red. And just to provide a bit of further breakdown on that, the table you can see on page 5 of the report just shows how those percentages break down across the various grades within the overarching colour status. And it's also worth mentioning the table that you can see on page 6 of the report, as this shows the summary of the overall performance and also how it reflects across the three corporate priorities, as well as the five cabinet portfolios as they were at the year end. That small number of amber and red targets are detailed in the tables you can see on pages 7 through to 9 of the main report. This really just provides some narrative to provide the context around the situation with each of those indicators. But I should say as well that the four appendices that are attached to the main report, they include comprehensive data on all the indicators in the corporate plan, as well as the various benchmarking type of exercises that we've been able to undertake as well. So that's a summary in terms of the final position of the performance. I would also just highlight the information in section 5.7 of the main report. That's looking at the targets for the current financial year, so 22-23. So as you know, when the corporate plan was approved back in early March, as is usually the case, there are a small number of numerical indicators that couldn't have their targets set appropriate. To do that, you want to be able to see the final outturn figures, which of course aren't available till the end of March. So these were agreed to be set post-outturn, and the targets are now proposed in this section for your consideration. So that's just a quick summary of the key points, but as I mentioned at the outset, overall the numbers once again suggest that the Council continues to be in a very good position in terms of its performance. Two recommendations arising. Firstly, for the Cabinet to consider the performance at the end of 21-22 towards achieving the corporate priorities. And secondly, for the Cabinet to approve the targets for 22-23 that are listed there in section 5.7 of the report. And back to you, Leader.
Thank you very much, James. So, final outturn report reflecting on the year that ended in end of March. It's been the practice for a few years now to take the amber targets and turn them red because it has come to the end of the year and they weren't achieved at least in full. So VFM 26, we missed by 8 days, so not that far, over the target set. It was achieved, and so was VFM 61 in part, but they were that was partially achieved, but not fully. So we'll move those to red when we propose the recommendations. Can I have any discussion on the report in general? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Leader. Just a commentary on the items that were off target within my portfolio. VFM 53, VFM 50B. VFM 50B, housing benefits over payments. Unfortunately, we are not in control of that, and this is created when we have people who receive housing benefits from us and don't update us in a timely fashion in terms of whether they are being paid the correct housing benefits or not. And as soon as we hear, we have to then issue a note to claim and recover the payments that they've received over the top of what they should have been getting. So we are in the lap of the gods and in the laps of our residents as to what happens with that. And we are way down on that target due to a lot of HBOPs being assessed in the last quarter. Smarter working in opportunities within the revs and benefits customer centre, and that was, the report was delivered in April rather than when it should have been. Unfortunately, once again, there are reasons for that, mainly related to the fact that the government insisted on issuing payments to our residents. We need our revs and benefits team to actually do those, and when you've got a tight team and you've got the manager, senior manager missing, it's very difficult to actually pull in extra work and maintain the work in terms of our normal processes. So when that's what should give, it's the automation that should give and not the actual benefits that we pay from the government to our residents. In terms of EHB07, performance on recycling, it's an estimated outturn. And once again, this is affected probably to a great extent by people being at home from COVID and not eating out. And the response to that is that they generally tend to have more waste because of that. And that's what's happening here. It's an estimated outturn, and I would imagine and predict that if we actually measured that alongside other waste authorities, when their outturn and our outturn is known, it probably will be fairly similar. Similarly, maintaining the performance on waste reduction, once again, it's related to the performance on recycling, and everything tends to get sent pear-shaped when people are working from home as opposed to working in the office and when they're furloughed, etc., and not at work. Now, if I can get this working, we move down. And the VFM 61, which was partially met, it's gone into a red from an amber. And once again, with our waste management team, we actually have a statutory duty to collect our waste. And at one stage, we were so many drivers short that we were taking drivers from our street cleaning team and even from our management team to actually achieve our targets and our collection rates. And it's much better to actually maintain our collection, our statutory duties in terms of collection of waste, as opposed to maybe missing a street for a few days. And this is what's been happening. We've been taking those teams away from street cleaning, putting them on to our waste management and recycling and waste collections to ensure that no one has a bin that's not emptied. We employed and improved our pay rates to ensure during the year to ensure that we could actually attract drivers, and it did have an impact. And it did improve towards the end of the year, and it's much better now. So I don't expect that to happen again. And that's where I'll end. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Any other comments from Cabinet members? So there is also the second part of the recommendation is to agree the 5.7 targets to be agreed after the outturn. So for the next corporate plan year that we're currently in. So we'll take those as part of the recommendation. If there's no further comments, I'll propose that we accept the recommendations with the extra one of changing the two ambers to reds. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Sankey. All those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. So we'll move on to item 8, COVID-19 Emergency Plan and Recovery Update, June 2022. And it's James Abbott again. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again, leader. So this is the quarterly COVID recovery update for June. And the focus of this report, as it has been previously, is primarily on activities and opportunities for recovery from any impacts that we might have seen arising from the pandemic. So in the normal way, we've collated a number of relevant activities that contribute to those four broad recovery themes that we'd identified previously. But as always, the table you can see on page 6, that shows the particular highlights that relate to those four recovery themes, but the full detail, of course, set out in the subsequent sections of the report. So really just focusing on the key updates or additions since the last version of the report. If we start with local economy and business, that's section 5.3 of the report. There's detail there on the good work that's gone into administering the various grants that we've had responsibility for, so including the final positions on the ARG grant, the hospitality and leisure grants, the household support fund and the test and trace payments as well. There's reference to the advice and support from our enterprise team, in particular the new community regeneration fund, the further investment in the business springboard boost scheme and the continuation of the retail and hospitality forums. And of course, we have the working group looking at options for the market hall. I've also included some information on the Staffordshire Means Back to Business Pandemic Fund, with some significant investment there into the borough supporting businesses during and after the pandemic. So moving on to section 5.4, that's infrastructure and environment. There's information here on the latest position with the various regeneration opportunities. So there's detail there on the Towns Fund, we have the Levelling Up Fund and the Shared Prosperity Fund, as well as the Utoxeter Master Plan as well. We also have reference here to the Washington Enhancements, along with some detail on the Welcome Back Fund and the Stay Local campaign. That ended back in March, but the council continues to have plans for a range of outdoor events throughout 2022 to animate the high streets and the open spaces that we have across the borough and build on that successful work that was delivered as part of the Stay Local campaign previously. So section 5.5 looks at the physical and psychological health of the community. So we've included some information on the Big Burton Jubilee celebration, along with the various shows and events and exhibitions that have been delivered through the Brew House and the Market Hall. The council has been working with Everyone Active to develop the Staffordshire Play Day experience this August, which is a campaign highlighting the importance of play, trying to bring forward even more opportunities for local children to be active. Also, we have the Queen's Baton Relay for the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham this year. That's been confirmed as visiting the borough on the 20th of July with events at Bramshaw Park and St George's Park. We've also got some information on the position with the Vulnerable Renter Payment Scheme and the Protect and Vaccinate funding. The final theme is around new practices and behaviours, which you can see in section 5.6. So staff and visitors to the council buildings are not currently being required to wear face coverings unless they choose to do so. And now we're into the new financial year. We've, of course, refreshed the corporate plan, and there are a number of new targets embedded within that as well. So I've also pulled out a number of key objectives from the digital strategy and the work of the Strategic Digital Group, which are looking at a number of different opportunities for new digital practices this year as well. So really, that's, a quick summary of the key points and the significant additions, as I say, from the last report. But as you can see, there's a lot of good work happening throughout the organisation, looking at a number of different opportunities from across those recovery themes that we'd identified, all of which contribute to the recovery of our community and businesses. The recommendation is simply for Cabinet to note the update detailed within the report. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions.
Thank you, James. Is there any comments or questions on the report from members? No. Okay, so the report's to be noted. So if there's no further comments or questions on this, we'll draw the meeting to a close. Thank you, guys.